everybody. Welcome to the SA Dropkicks Wrestling Podcast. My name is KG Animo, if you are new. And in this episode, myself and my co-host Eugene are going to reflect on what has been quite an incredible week in professional wrestling. None more so than the epic promo battle between CM Punk and MJF that took place on last Wednesday's Dynamite. Just an incredible promo segment, 20 minutes of breathtaking professional wrestling TV, the likes of which will never be seen again. This was absolutely incredible. You have two of the greatest mic men in the world delivering on the biggest stage. We're going to talk about what both men said and try and figure out who exactly won that promo battle. All of that and more coming in the episode. I don't even know. Like, I still haven't recovered from watching this.
Watching the promo
video. I still haven't recovered from the best 20 minutes of pro wrestling since I can remember. This was fantastic. I loved it, dude.
That might be the best promo for this year.
Yeah, it has to be. I can't think of anything else. Maybe some stuff. Some stuff from Roman Reigns. Like, Roman Reigns said some stuff to John Cena. But that's like the only thing I could think of that was like, wow, this guy just got burned.
Yeah, this one was so fired, bro. Oh my god,
loved it. Like, MJF looks like he goes, MJF starts this promo off, right? He goes, you know, I'm a little bit offended because, you know, I came to shake your hand last week and you just looked at me, and whenever you talk about people you want to face in AEW, you didn't mention me. And MJF just, like, he lays into Punk. He just starts laying into Punk. He's like, usually you're the best guy on the mic, but now you're just a minnow.
Degraded
Punk. Like, I was like, this is just good stuff. But if anyone can come back, it's Punk. But he calls him a meth addict. He's like, the fact that you're straight edge is weird because you look like a meth addict. This was crazy.
That was heavy. I'm like, he didn't
need to do that. Like, but it's MJF. You know the thing with being MJF, with being like the most hated heel in wrestling, is you can get away with crossing the line to an extent. You can, like, if you're someone else, if it was anyone else, they wouldn't be able to get away with the stuff that MJF does. His character is meant for him to be a douche. He's meant to be this arrogant douche who disrespects everyone, and so that character works. It means he can do stuff that not everyone else can do.
Yeah, I think he's a great heel. He's a great heel. I'm not gonna lie to you. Yeah. Might be the best heel
in the business. Yeah, I mean, in pro wrestling, yeah, maybe, right? Because when I think of heels, I have three. There are three really good heels, right? It's MJF, Jay White, this dude from New Japan, and Roman Reigns. Like, those are my three favorite heels in wrestling right now.
Right now.
I can't say of all time. Because when I say all time, I think of Randy Orton in 2009.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Because he was awesome in 2009. And then this promo keeps going. There are so many good lines from this promo. MJF then goes, I'm going to finish you quicker than your UFC career. You didn't want to face me on the mic. This was awesome.
CM Punk, like the previous week, was the first person to shut him up without saying anything.
Yeah. He's like, the reason you're so pissed is because there's a picture of me on your bedroom wall, and
that one. Oh my
I lost
God, dude. That one. I went insane.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit.
This is some good stuff. And then he's like, I get why you're pissed. I can understand why you're pissed. But the reason I didn't mention you, the reason I didn't say anything about you or care about you, is because I didn't want to boost your rotten ego. Your ego
Does
doesn't
have
need a
an ego.
boost, which is true, because MJF is the most self-obsessed egomaniac in the wrestling business. And so if Punk had been like, I really want to face this MJF guy, if Punk had said that, think of how much heat MJF would have because of that.
Yeah, but I think even off this promo, they have heat, bro.
Yeah, so much heat. And I didn't notice this until maybe like 5 minutes into the promo. They were actually in CM Punk's hometown. They were in Chicago.
Didn't notice.
I did not notice. I don't know why, because I watched the segment, right? And you know what's crazy?
Yeah.
They started with this segment. AEW Dynamite started with this segment.
Yeah, they're opening. Yeah,
They
yeah.
opened with
That's
it.
how. That's how you open a wrestling show, bro.
But you know what the thing is? The thing about opening a wrestling show is if you have something this good, you don't want to watch the rest of the show. The rest of the show
Yeah.
sucks in comparison to this. Like, you watch the first 20 minutes, you are fired up. You're like, this is amazing. Now I'm tired. I don't want to watch anything else because this thing just blew my mind. And so,
Yeah, but at the same time, after watching the promo, you either wonder what's next, or that promo makes you want to watch the whole show.
I guess, but there's like, this was, I'm gonna say this for the rest of this episode. This was awesome. Like, I don't even know how to put this into words. Guys, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't seen the promo battle between CM Punk and MJF, do yourself a favor, watch it. Even if you're not a wrestling fan, if you just stumbled across this podcast and you have no idea what these two guys are talking about, go and watch it, right? So, like, go and just type, like, go to YouTube and type AEW CM Punk. It should be the first thing that pops up. It's like a 19-minute video, right? If you're not a wrestling fan, right, this is still going to be entertaining. Like, even if you're not a wrestling fan, you are going to lose your mind watching this. This was incredible.
There's a personal element to it, so I think they will enjoy it.
Yeah, like, this is some real comedy roast. Not comedy roast, but like good one-line stuff going on. And the line, even the line where Punk says, I shut up the great MJF without saying a word. No wonder you're pissed. No wonder you're offended. And MJ and like, even the facial expressions, like when the camera,
Dude, I wanted to touch on that. I wanted to touch on that.
yeah.
MJF's facial expressions. I hope they noticed that because they added to that promo.
Yeah, same with Punk's. Punk is chilling there in the corner going, okay, man, just finish so I can destroy you. And MJF, when he starts listening to Punk's comeback, he sits there and he goes, he's just like, you can tell this man is really hurt by CM Punk. You can tell this man is getting roasted by the best in the world. And I mean, he brings up that line. He goes, he thinks what he does is revolutionary to the wrestling business, when in actual fact, he's just a less famous Miz.
Bonkers when I heard that
The
one put me off, bro.
crowd went nuts. This is the only line people remember. Like, if this is maybe the one of only two lines that people remember from this promo. It's not the best line.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it's not the best line. Like, I get it was a good zinger, but it's not the best line. I'll let you guys know what my best line is.
I know which one you're referring to. I think I know. It's from MJF, right?
Okay, two of them. One is from Punk, one's from MJF. But
I think I know one from MJF,
I
and I don't
mean,
know about the other one from Punk.
yeah, they were so good. Like, I wanted to write down notes for this episode, and I'm going through each of these lines, and I'm like, there's so much good stuff here. And it's crazy
I don't know.
because
Did
this.
you notice when when Punk said, though he's a less famous Miz, did you know when they were not on the mic, you could almost lip read, right, what they were saying?
Yeah. I tried to figure out what MJF was saying, and I mean, this
I
was...
can tell you, but am I allowed to say on the podcast?
Wait, is it vulgar?
It's a curse word?
Rather not. Rather not.
Let me just say, it starts with an M.
Okay.
Can I give the... Yeah, you know which one then.
Oh... I know exactly which Punk, I know exactly which one you're talking about.
The B word.
I need to watch it again because I heard, like, I saw the like they said stuff to each other after that line, but I couldn't lip read exactly what they were saying. But
I'm a professional lip reader, bro.
Yeah. And then Punk's just
And then that was round one.
That was round one. And, like, MJF gets the mic again. Like, after being called a less famous Miz, MJF grabs the mic and he says, "That's almost what I wanted." Right? And with this line,
that messed me up.
With this line, you can tell, like, MJF's job is to bring out 2012 CM Punk. That's the CM Punk people want to see. So, MJF. His job in this segment is I bring out the old CM Punk. Bring out the CM Punk that ran through Triple H and John Cena and The Rock, which we'll get to because those names, because those are pretty big parts of this segment. So MJF's job is to bring out the old CM Punk, is to bring out the CM Punk that destroyed everyone back in the day, right? By back in the day, I mean 8 years ago, but still, right? So... MJF responds, he goes, basically calls him an ass kisser. Sorry, am I allowed to use that word? I'm quoting, right? He calls him a quote unquote ass kisser. And then
his breath.
He goes, "Your breath smells like," quote, and I quote, "Your breath smells like shit." And I quote, and then he continues, and just calls him, that word. And he says, "Let me do an impression of CM Punk. Chicago, you want to hear an impression of CM Punk?" And he does this really great impression. He goes,
I thought that was hilarious.
I thought that was so good. And you know what? It was true. It was so true. This was so true. I'm listening to this going, this is exactly how Punk has been acting since he came back. This is CM Punk. To the T, this man has watched CM Punk since he returned to pro wrestling and has summed up everything that Punk did. And basically, like, he's saying, this is not the CM Punk I grew up watching. Like, this is not, like, what kind, like, what happened to you? You're jumping into the crowd. You're out here putting guys over. Like, who are you, man? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he basically just berates Punk for being, what did he call him? He called him PG Punk.
PG Punk, PG Punk.
And then, like, this is the line I was talking about from, this is my favorite line from MJF.
I knew it.
"You might as well be out here preaching hustle, loyalty, and respect." This got maybe the biggest pop of the night. Maybe the second biggest pop.
I think it was the second biggest because that Miz line got everyone.
That Miz line was like, "Hey, wake up. Like, if you're not watching this, wake up." And even Taz on commentary, he's like, no, I'm thinking of another segment. Sorry, I'm thinking of another segment. But commentary didn't say anything. No one on commentary said a thing.
They were listening.
They were listening. This was absolutely great. And he calls Punk out, right? MJF calls Punk out for being PG Punk. He says, "You might as well be out here preaching hustle, loyalty, and respect. What happened to the guy I grew up on?" Yada, yada, yada.
I don't know how he was able to get that those few words in, you might as well be preaching hustle, loyalty, and respect. That was great.
Yeah.
That was amazing for you.
Oh, I forgot about this line. MJF, he goes, wait, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. There's so much great stuff in this segment. MJF basically goes, since you've come back to AEW, you have failed to beat the easiest of competition, and you have failed to say quite literally anything of intrigue. Like, nothing you've done and nothing you've said since coming back to professional wrestling has been intriguing or interesting. You've done nothing. And, like, I love this line. Very good line from MJF. What did you think of that? Like, do you think Punk has really done nothing? Do you think Punk hasn't been at his best? Obviously, it takes time to get back into the wrestling business, but what do you think?
I think, like, he's been away for 7 years, right?
Yeah.
So, he's not going to go, like, straight for Kenny Omega, like, a Daniel Bryan would do, because Daniel Bryan has been active, right?
Yeah.
So, I believe he started somewhere where, not like at the bottom, maybe on the middle card. Can I say that?
Yeah, definitely.
Started at the middle card because there's some good wrestlers on the middle card.
Yeah.
Like, he's been wrestling, like, his first match back with Darby Allin, which we'll get to as well.
Yeah. I actually wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, so I think he didn't, like, he hasn't done that much, but at the same time, he hasn't done nothing.
Yeah.
If anything, he's probably, like, the wrestlers around him probably gaining experience, like, they're learning from him. So I guess that's something.
But yeah, I mean, to be...
But the ring, it's nothing of significant as of yet, besides Darby Allin and Kingston.
Yeah. So, you know, I felt that Eddie Kingston stuff, you know, was it 3 weeks ago? Maybe a month ago? Okay, 3 weeks ago, where Kingston and Punk had that segment. And in that segment, I thought Kingston destroyed Punk. I thought Kingston came off from that segment like the better man. And I was kind of thinking, maybe CM Punk has lost his edge. Maybe CM Punk cannot hang with these guys on the mic anymore. Maybe he's not that great on the mic anymore. He proved me wrong in this segment.
I think he had a hard look at himself.
Yeah. He proved everybody wrong. You think I'm not as good on the mic as these guys? Well, I'll show you. I'm going to destroy MJF on the mic.
Do you think these spats that he's been having with Kingston and now MJF, they almost sound like they're not scripted?
I don't think anything is scripted in AEW. Nothing. If maybe maybe the closest thing, maybe the closest thing to a script is sort of like notes on like what to say that they come up with. Like, Bryan Danielson did an interview. And they asked him, like, do you get anything? Like, does Tony Khan give you any sort of direction? And he goes, nope. I haven't been given a single script since I came to AEW.
It's full creative control.
It's full creative. Not full, but, like, it's decent creative control. Where it's like, I'm not like actually hating my job.
The opponent know what they're going to say. Do they give them a heads up?
Yeah, I think... At least. I think it's like... I'm gonna let you know what I'm gonna say so that you know exactly like where this is going. Like, just to give you a heads up of, hey, listen, out there tonight, I'm gonna say this and this and this, and then you can sort of respond. And maybe Tony Khan has a bit of influence. He's like, yeah, I think you should say this and not this. But it's not like WWE where they just hand you a script and want you to quote it word for word. You know what I mean? Because that sucks.
Yeah.
That absolutely sucks.
Yeah, but not everyone at WWE. I don't think Randy Orton has a script.
No, Randy. I don't think Randy Orton has a script. I don't think The Miz gets a script.
AJ, I only think those two are the only ones on that company that are not handed a script.
Maybe The Miz as well, if he decides to come back.
Yeah, from dancing.
Yeah, even Paul Heyman doesn't get a script. I don't think Paul Heyman has ever been handed a script
who's
in his
going to
career.
be the creator of the script? You can't do that.
Yeah, you can't, right? Basically, and like, let's get back on topic here. MJF goes, he goes, you haven't beaten, you've struggled to beat the easy competition. You haven't said anything that's interesting or intriguing. And looking at you right now, your hair is gray, you're getting old, and if anyone needs to go to sleep, it's you.
No, that was good. That was
That
great
was a
pun
good
work. That
line.
was great
That was a
wordplay.
very good line. And he goes, this isn't CM Punk. This is PG Punk. And then he carries on. He goes, you know what? In the other company, these people saw you as a hero. They thought you were being pushed down. They thought you were being held back, right? You should have been the number one guy, right? Obviously referring to the WrestleMania main event. Like
Yeah.
everyone knows like one of the big reasons Punk left is because The Miz got a WrestleMania main event and not him. Which just shows
Which is
you
crazy.
how
And the
stupid they
only
were.
WrestleMania moment Punk had was against the Undertaker. That was it.
Which should have been the main event of WrestleMania 29. Why on earth
And
would
it
you give
wasn't.
us? You gave us twice in a lifetime. Nobody wanted Rock versus Cena because everyone knew that Cena was gonna win. Everyone knew Cena was winning at WrestleMania 29 because The Rock had to go do a movie afterwards, and he couldn't do the movie while holding the WWE Championship.
Exactly. Now they could have put the streak on the line as the main
As
event.
the main event, the last good match of the Undertaker's career, like if I have to say so. Because we all know what happened at
Now I can.
WrestleMania 30.
Yeah, we've watched the documentary.
Yeah, we have. If you don't know which documentary we're talking about, people, the Undertaker's
The
Last
Last Ride.
Ride documentary on the WWE Network. It's a incredible, like if you've been a fan of the Undertaker, if you are one of those kids that hid behind the couch when the gong went on, like you are fascinated by the Undertaker, go and watch this documentary. It's the Undertaker's Last Ride documentary on the WWE Network. It's brilliant. It's amazing. Again,
You
going
won't
off of
regret
topic
watching
here,
that.
we're going off topic, but I think let's bring it back, right? So basically, Punk, MJF stands there and he goes, you know what's crazy? You know why you don't like me? Because I'm every single person's wet dream. I'm like, I was born for
I'm every
professional
single Red
wrest.
Kings promoter
Yeah,
wet dream. I thought that was good.
he's like, I'm every single pundit, analyst, and promoter's wet dream. I am the professional wrestler. Whereas you're just a tattooed up misfit from the dumpiest part of the Midwest known as Chicago.
Girl, that was great. I'm like, that's some great heel work. Shitting on a wrestler's hometown. That's amazing heel
Yeah,
work.
I mean, you can't come to Chicago. We can't be, you can't come to Chicago and not piss on Chicago. You have to. And Chicago's like one of the great wrestling cities. Like I think of that Money in the Bank match between Punk and John
Yeah.
Cena. That crowd.
Probably the best crowd WWE has ever seen.
It's
One
my
of the.
second favorite wrestling crowd of all time. The reason it's my
I'd say
second
it's my
favorite,
number one.
the reason it's my second favorite, there was a match in Japan I think I sent it to you. It was a tag match in Japan from the 90s where the crowd was
Yeah.
just on a different level. But again, Chicago's always been one of those cities. Like, as a wrestler, if you like you're doing a set of tapings or you're gonna be on AEW or WWE in Chicago, they're gonna come hard. Chicago people, like Chicago people, are just passionate, especially about professional wrestling. And
Yeah.
for MJF to just shut them up like that, not only did it get massive heat, it just showed you that this guy will not stop. This guy will say anything he wants to.
We'll take it to any lens.
Exactly. He will do whatever it takes to upset these people. And then MJF goes, you know, It doesn't matter all that you've done in your career, all of your sacrifices, all of your hard work. At the end of the day, you will always be second best. You've always been second best. Whether it was the You Can't See Me Man or the King of Kings. Bro, I did not think that these two would reference WWE. Obviously they had to in a sense, because Punk, like before Punk came to AEW, he was in the WWE. But and a lot of people are angry. It's like, why do you have to reference so much WWE stuff? Like, this promo would not have made sense if we didn't talk about some WWE stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, obviously,
because the Punk has everything.
Yeah. And so and Punk just looks at him and he goes, "Okay, man, you said what you wanted to say, now let me speak." And Punk,
let me school you.
You know what this reminds me of? You know that, you remember that promo segment between John Cena and Roman Reigns on Raw?
Oh yeah.
Where John Cena's like, "Okay, you've got to a halfway decent promo. Now let me take you to school." This gives me Roman Reigns, John Cena vibes on SmackDown, on Raw 2017. It's like, fine, congratulations, you've had the best promo of your career, now let me take you to school. And that's exactly, even though Punk doesn't say anything, right? He just grabs his mic and he goes, and he admits, like, he admits
that, okay, some of the stuff you said is true.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to argue with you. What you said, it's kind of true. I did feel nervous. I didn't know if these people would want me back. I didn't know if these people would accept me. I didn't know if I was good enough to be in this ring anymore. And I was scared that maybe I didn't have it. And he's like, "I'm not scared anymore, right? I'm certainly not scared of you."
I'd like to think that he didn't need to worry about anyone not wanting him there, you know?
No, we did not. Because the people were like how many wrestling shows between 2014 and 2021 did you hear people chanting CM Punk? How many WWE shows got invaded by fans chanting CM Punk?
Exactly.
So many. The man did not have to worry about not being wanted. This man was not just wanted, fans needed CM Punk back. And
yeah, the only thing that he only needed to worry about was not being in the ring for 7 months. That's the only thing.
Get the ring rust off. And he's done well. He's done well to get the ring rust off. I've seen some of these matches, right? They're not 5-star matches, but they're really good.
Yeah, like, for someone who's been away for seven years,
they're good. Like the one with Matt Sydal was really great.
Yeah, that one comes to mind.
I love Punk's match with Sydal. Another one with Daniel Garcia, which is also very good. On Rampage with Daniel Garcia. I watched it like 2 days ago. It was so good. From a social aspect where it's like, we want this guy in professional wrestling, this was great. From an in-ring aspect, still getting there, but his match with Kingston, I feel like Punk wrestles a completely different style. I don't know if you notice. He's not flying. Or his style is more technical, more MMA sort of fighting style.
Yeah. So, I can agree with you there.
And that works for him. That works because he has the MMA background. He trains in MMA. So that style works for him. That's what I like about it. Let's move on. We got some lines to catch up on here. And so Punk is like, "Yeah, fine. I admit some of the stuff you said is true." And then he goes, "But remember this, right? I was main eventing Madison Square Garden while you were marking out to Rosie O'Donnell." Oh, my goodness.
That's my other favorite line.
Because you know the story behind the Rosie O'Donnell, right?
Yeah.
So, for those of you who don't know, MJF, when he was a youngster, when he was about, what, 4 or 5 years old? Okay, maybe a little bit older than 5. Let's say 7 years old. appeared on a TV show in the US, Rosie O'Donnell's show. Earlier in, like, was it last year? You know when MJF did that thing with Chris Jericho, that dinner with Chris Jericho where they did this whole crazy dance performance. He's like, "You made the New York Times. Congratulations. Guess what? You're going to make the New York Times again. This time in the obituaries." This was my favorite line of the whole thing.
That was my third favorite. It was great wordplay.
This was my favorite line of the entire
segment.
And like the wordplay as well. For those of you who don't understand the wordplay, in professional wrestling, there's something called burying someone, right? In professional wrestling, when you destroy someone's character, you embarrass them. It's called burying someone, where it's like this person can no longer recover. And so basically Punk was saying, "I'm gonna bury you," right? And what happens to people who get buried, people who die? They get their obituaries read. I loved it. The word, it's not so much the pop or like the crowd reaction, it's more the wordplay that made this my number one set, like that makes this my number one line. I loved it.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Yeah, I like.
It was amazing.
It was so good. And then he goes, and Punk continues, and he goes, some of these lines here at the end. He's like, "You're so worried about proving to everybody that you are the number one of the four pillars when you don't even realize." Shit. I'm going to let you quote this one, because I can tell you're excited.
"That you got replaced by Dr. Britt Baker.
He's like, "You're so worried about proving you're the biggest star, about proving you're one of the four, you're the best of the four pillars of AEW. You don't even realize you've been replaced by Britt Baker."
Oh my God, you know what? That might be my favorite one.
Oh man!
Like, it's either my favorite or my second one, because that was a great line. Punk plugged in Britt Baker, bro.
Yeah. He plugged Britt Baker. He's like, "Yo, you guys think all these guys are putting AEW on the map? The real face of AEW is Dr. Britt Baker," and it's true. It is true. Absolutely true.
And then also, did he not go on to say, it was either before this line or after the line that he referenced that it eats MJF up, that
heart and soul. He's like, "When I came back to professional wrestling and I signed with AEW and I went and I wanted to face the heart and soul of AEW, it bothers you that I chose Darby Allin and not you, right? It bothers you that I went for Darby Allin." And then Punk goes, he goes, "You know why I didn't care about you? You know why I didn't mention you? Because you can't get, like, because unlike you," he goes, "you run your mouth too much. You talk too much. And guess what? I talk too much as well. I used to talk a lot, but the difference between you and me is I could back it up. Whereas you can't back up nothing without your backup."
Yeah.
Also a really great line. Also a really great line. And it goes, FTR, Sean Spears, Wardlow, that's how you get things done around here. I didn't mention you during media because I didn't have to. Right? And then, again, Punk just verbally eviscerates MJF. MJF is bothered by this, you can tell. And then, what else does he say? He mentions some stuff about Chicago. He talks about some things about Chicago. Was it?
Yeah, about how it's a great set and how it's on the ashes.
Yeah, he's like, you know why they call Chicago the second city? It's not because there's a city that's better than it. It's not because there's a city that came first. It's because when this city burned down, we just started building upon the smoking embers. Great line. I actually did not know this about Chicago.
I also didn't know. See, it's educational as well.
Educational. Get a little bit of geography, a little bit of history in there. Gotta love AEW, man. And then MJF. Was it MJF? I don't remember what MJF said after this. Like, after the line about...
No, he,
about Rosie O'Donnell. I don't remember what MJF said next. Punk,
MJF never spoke again, bro.
Yeah,
Never spoke again.
Punk just carries on. He's like, you know what? The only way you're gonna be number one in this company is
I
if
thought
we
this
wait.
was a bit too personal, I'm not gonna lie to you.
Is if we wait long enough for you to have a daughter that for Tony to have a daughter that you can marry.
That was almost like MJF assurance, like, yo, you didn't need to say that, you know, like, I can't believe you said that.
Like if I'm Triple H watching this, bro. The number of
but
WWE references.
For no
like Triple H is like, yo, like, why are you bringing me into this? Like, what did I do?
What did I do?
Like, this is like, even The Miz. Like, imagine The Miz, because The Miz was trending worldwide.
I bet you The Miz was confused, bro. He's
Miz
like,
was trending. The Miz was trending, dude, worldwide for like for like 10 minutes. He was number three trending worldwide.
Had no idea for any reason. Do you think he went on? Do you think he actually watched the segment?
I think he went on to check what it was all about. I don't think he watched. I don't know, dude. I'm not. I don't think he watched it because like Miz is maybe a busy guy. I don't think he watched the segment, but I know he knows about it. I can tell you, or I think he knows about it because, I mean, anyone in professional wrestling knows about this segment. Yeah, imagine like waking up in the morning and finding out you're trending. You're thinking, what did I do? What happened? And it's like, no, your name just got mentioned on a show.
Yeah.
Crazy. And
then...
Wait,
before that line, didn't like during the obituary lines, didn't he say your parents...
Oh, I love this one. He's like, you just enrolled into a college your parents cannot afford. Because he's like,
yeah.
Basically saying, like...
You're a spoiled brat.
You're a spoiled brat. And for the first time in your life, you've bitten off more than you can chew. For the first time in your life, your parents are not going to be able to get you out of this one. Your parents are not going to be able to help you. It's you alone now. You've talked a lot of rubbish, and now you're going to pay for it. Right, you've written a check, and now it's time for you to cash. Great line.
Might be big for you to cash.
Exactly. Promo was really great. Like, I can't think of anything else in pro wrestling that was this good.
Any promo can drop this year, and it's not gonna be better than this one.
No, it's not. 20 minutes. These guys went to it. I heard they had to like chop off some time from like all of the stuff that came after this, because apparently they were not supposed to go that long.
Oh well, that's great chemistry.
But it's like these people could have gone the entire episode, and I would not have minded. I would not have cared. Like, remember?
Yeah,
so this whole thing started off with CM Punk having a match, because CM Punk wrestled. He wrestled Marshall after this, because he was in his gear. He was set for a match, and then they did the segment, which like this was incredible. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know how anything in the next year is gonna top this segment. But I have to ask, who would you pick? Like, if you had to pick a winner of this segment.
I'd pick Punk, but I'm not going to downplay MJF. You know, he was amazing. If
yeah.
it's anyone else besides Punk, MJF wins. But because it's Punk, you know, and because of the second round was much stronger than the first, I'm giving it to Punk, man. But MJF, make no mistake about this. He had some great lines, and it's very close. It's very close.
Yeah, I would say...
I've watched it a couple of times.
I would say, like, MJF's first round was brilliant. Like, MJF started this thing on fire. His first round was brilliant. Punk came back in rounds two and three. So I'll give it to Punk. And, like, the thing is, that's how it's supposed to be. The heel is supposed to dominate early, and then the babyface is supposed to come back so that the babyface leaves with the momentum. And so I feel like Punk wins this battle only because he was the babyface.
Yeah,
So I think that's the reason that Punk wins. This was
But
incredible.
surely they're gonna run it back.
Yeah, let's do like matches. Like what do you think, are some of the matches that we can like, do you think, obviously they have to do a match, because like you can't give us this promo, you can't give us this the beginning of this feud and not have a match. So AEW has two more like big shows this year. One of them is Winter Is Coming. The other one is St. Patrick's Day Slam. Those are the two that I can think of. The match either has to take place there, or maybe they might move it to next year. New Year's Smash. AEW New Year's Smash, which is like their big Happy New Year celebration. Those are the three shows I'm thinking of.
I think they're gonna build as much as they can, and then when it's the right moment, they're gonna have a match.
Yeah, I mean, we're nearing the end of the year. We're about a month away from, like, we've got a month left this year. Build this thing over a month, and then at New Year's Smash, have the match. And here's what I think. I think MJF should win.
I agree. I
I
actually
think
agree.
MJF should be the first guy to beat CM Punk. One, like, MJF needs to be. You remember what I said about Jade Cargill back in our video about the women's division? I mentioned that Jade Cargill should be booked as this bully monster heel that makes everyone who stands in front of her babyface by default. Same thing here, right? CM Punk is badass. CM Punk is great. He can be a heel if he wants to, but really, really give MJF the win. Make him the biggest piece of garbage on earth. Get him that heat, right? So that, and this is just my booking, this is just my fantasy booking, so that when he takes that AEW championship from Hangman, bro, because that's what I want to see. I want MJF to win the AEW World Championship. This will get heat for days.
I think he will, because I don't think Punk needs the title to come across as hot, because Punk will anyway. Punk is going to be heat, man, for anyone he comes across with. He
Yeah.
himself is heat, and he's gonna get you more heat.
Yeah, definitely. Punk is great at sort of. He's one of those, he's so adaptable where he's like, it doesn't matter if he's at the top, it doesn't matter if he's in the mid card. Whatever you give him, whatever you make him do, he's gonna turn it into the best thing on the show. So I don't think Punk needs the AEW World Championship just yet. Again, he's only coming back. He's only just come back, right? Give the championship to MJF. MJF screws Hangman Page and wins the championship. Here is my prediction. By double or nothing, or at double or nothing next year, MJF will become the AEW, or will have become the AEW World Champion. That's just my prediction.
I
Yeah.
actually can see that happening. It's not far-fetched, you
It's
know.
not. It really isn't. Man, what a great episode. This is maybe my favorite episode of this entire of
Mine
our
too.
entire podcast.
Mine too.
Like, I loved it.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Before we wrap things up, is there anything you want to say? Oh, we forgot one more line. The last line of this thing. Punk just calls MJF a needle dick. He goes, "I'm gonna punch you in your needle dick."
Honestly, mean that? Can you say that
You know what? I'll put the warning out. I'd like we've said enough of vulgar stuff. Because we're quoting. The thing about quoting is that you have to sort of. You have to let the people know what was said, right? But I'll
though?
send the warning out. This was crazy. I love this episode. I love the segment. Can't wait to see what is next for MJF and CM Punk. Where will this feud end up? Does MJF beat Punk? Which he should, because again, MJF needs to be like needs to get that heat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
ladies and gentlemen, that is going to be it for this episode. As always, we hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, make sure you stick around because the episodes will keep coming. If you'd like to follow us on social media, you can do so on Instagram at Dropkicks Wrestling Podcast or on Twitter at Dropkicks_SA. As always, let us know what you think, what you liked, what you didn't like. Maybe you disagree with our picks. Maybe you disagree with something else that we said. If there's something we forgot to mention, let us know. Shoot us an Instagram DM, tweet us on Twitter, and let's talk about it. Till next time, stay safe, and God bless.